I trust that as the week has gone by, we have seen the Lord's graces upon us. We have seen His goodness to us. None that we can miss today, that He's brought us here today to worship together, to sing hymns to Him, to pray and offer our supplications to Him. I would trust that as we consider this psalm, we would be reminded of who is our good shepherd, of who is our strength and our shield and our refuge. I ask that you please incline your ear to the word of the Lord. Psalm 28. The Lord is my strength and my shield. Of David. To you, O Lord, I call, my rock, be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your most holy sanctuary. Do not drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil, who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their hearts. Give to them according to their work and according to the evil of their deeds. Give to them according to the work of their hands. Render them their due reward, because they do not regard the works of the Lord or the work of His hands. He will tear them down and build them up no more. Blessed be the Lord, for He has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to Him. The Lord is the strength of His people. He is the saving refuge of His anointed. O save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Let us pray. Our holy God and heavenly Father, it is to you that we come. It is through you that we find ourselves here listening and hearing your word. Heavenly Father, we have many distresses in our lives. And even now, there are those among us who suffer. And yet, you, O Lord, have always been faithful. You have offered mercy to those whom you have loved. And Heavenly Father, you are not far from us, for we have heard of Him, of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that which He has accomplished for us. And so, even as we consider the words of your servant David, we ask, O Lord, that you would teach us. Teach us, O Heavenly Father, to grow in faith, to trust you more and more. Edify us, O Lord, through this psalm. May we see your goodness, even in the midst of struggle. I pray these things in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen. Psalm 28, another psalm of David, one of many psalms that I believe with the words and the angst and the emotion that is displayed in the reading, rather the prayer of David, we would see that the servant of the Lord depends upon God for all his strength, for all his help. Psalm 28 is a prayer for help by David. Though it is unclear what David's trouble is, just by reading this psalm, we quickly understand that the Lord's servant is once again seeking mercy and salvation from God, who is his only help. David's weakness is apparent, and he is in great need. Should the Lord hear his prayer, David knows that he will be rescued. It is upon the hope that God hears him that David can approach God's holy throne. Without that faith, that he has refuge in the Lord, David's situation would remain hopeless. Let us consider the first two verses. David says, "To you, O Lord, I call, my rock, be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy, when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your most holy sanctuary." Listen to the words of this servant. Listen to the words of the saint. He is struggling. He is in distress. Where does he run to? What is his first plea? "Oh Lord, hear me." He calls upon the Lord. I can say, at least for myself, when you're struggling, it doesn't matter what the struggle is, when your back is up against the wall and you see no way out, as a man, in your own strength, what do you do? It is just darkness. But for the saint, for the one who trusts the Lord, God is his light. He knows he can only go to one place for rescue, for comfort, for restoration. David begins his prayer by calling upon the Lord who is his rock. He urges the Lord to hear him. Otherwise, he would perish, just as those who go down to the pit. He paints a very clear picture of the reality of mankind. The world is not right. This world is full of sin. Despair surrounds us. Things are not the way as they should be. We quickly learn that from the very first verse. The struggle is there, yes, but the situation is dire. In verse 2, David's angst becomes clear. He is desperate for the Lord's help. He is lowly and without strength and can only lift up his hands to the holy God for mercy and help. That's it. That's all he can do. The king of Israel, with all his riches and his great armies, can do this. Lift up his hands and cry for help to his heavenly Father. David continues on in verses 3 through 5. "Do not drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil, who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their hearts. Give to them according to their work and according to their evil deeds. Give to them according to the work of their hands. Render them their due reward, because they do not regard the works of the Lord or the work of his hands. He will tear them down and build them up no more." David's plea continues on. He appeals to God, "Please have mercy on me, that he would spare his servant from the judgment that awaits the wicked." The wicked are deceptive. They appear peaceable, yet evil reigns in their hearts. See, the situation is just that. We might see goodness in the world. We might see something that has the appearance of righteousness. But unless the heart has changed, unless they have been brought to life by God, they will certainly perish. This is the Old Testament we're talking about here, yet he is talking in terms which we're familiar with in the New Testament. Who would stand before God? Only those who have trusted in the works of the Lord. We see that the works of the wicked are just that, evil. In the Psalms, there are examples, numerous examples, of the deeds of the wicked. The wicked speak lies. They are bloodthirsty and deceitful, Psalm 5:6. The wicked boast in the desires of their soul and are greedy for gain, cursing and renouncing the Lord, Psalm 10:4. The wicked are the fool that say in their heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. Psalm 14:1. That's just a small sampling of the state of the unrighteous. The state in which we two saints were once in. We once walked in that darkness, we're told by the apostle. We too did the things that those who persist in evil continue to do. The works of the wicked are in direct contrast, in direct opposition to the works of the Lord. Verse 4, give them according to their work. Give to them according to the work of their hands. Verse 5, David contrasts that. Because they do not regard the works of the Lord or the works of his hands. See, they don't go up against the king or the righteous, they go up against God. See, they will perish because of the fact that God himself is holy. All his works are righteous and good and perfect, we're told by the scriptures. Indeed, who shall stand before God? David understands that the Lord rightly distinguishes between the righteous and the wicked. The deeds of mankind are not hidden from the Lord. God alone searches the hearts of men, and he determines those who would fall under his judgment and those who would find favor with him. Ultimately, the wicked will perish because they persist in evil and have no regard of the works of the Lord. We can be fooled. We can be deceived. That's not no secret. We are finite. Yet understand this. God will not be mocked. That's a warning that we get from the Psalms here. What is done in secret will be laid out in the light. So the world, the sinner has much to fear. Yet we know that because they do not regard the works of the Lord, they live as if nothing is wrong. Yet we who have known the truth, who have heard this truth and believed it, just like David, we understand things are not the way that they ought to be. There is great danger in this world full of sin. There is great peril that awaits those who would remain in their sins. They need the Lord's mercy. They need his salvation. And yet, it is not that the Lord is not faithful. It is not that he is not holy. It is not that he has failed. For mercy was never owed to anyone. It is all of his good pleasure. And that's where David is hoping. That is where he remains. Let us see what transpires as he continues on in his prayer, verse 6 through 9. Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. In these short verses, we see the Lord's faithfulness to the righteous. The psalmist rejoices for the Lord's faithfulness to him. He has heard his prayer. God has heard David's plea. In the midst of his great distress, he has found help from the Lord. And so he must declare that the Lord is his strength. He responds with thanksgiving. David recounts that his trust is in God alone. His trust is in God alone. In him, my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exults and with my song I give thanks to him. David doesn't say that he has been saved from it. All he says is that the Lord has heard him. We don't know whether he was completely healed or whatever it was, whether he was completely saved. We do not know. All we know is that David says, the Lord hears me. I have the ear of this holy covenant God. The Lord is with him. He is not forsaken. He shall not go down to the pit. He will not perish. Consequently, what is true for the Lord's servant is also true for all those that regard the works of the Lord. The Lord's chosen people have God himself as their refuge and strength. He is their shepherd and shall bear them up forever. They shall not perish. See the contrast between the wicked and the righteous? The wicked, destruction awaits them. It is a just destruction. For the righteous, the Lord upholds them. Brothers and sisters, I would hope that by this point we have recognized that even the Lord's faithfulness to safeguard his saints is not diminished in any way by the troubles and afflictions we may face in this life. As David served his role of the Lord's chosen king before Israel, he had to endure many trials. Although we are not sure what trouble David faced in the psalm, we quickly glean in the few verses of this prayer that David trusts in the Lord to bring him through his affliction. It is all of faith, folks. That's it. It is all of faith. Apart from the mercy of God, he and all who have trusted in God will surely perish. Friends, David was tasked with leading Israel in the worship and service of God under the Old Covenant. Yet even through that Old Covenant, God was rescuing a people for himself, always pointing ahead to a day when they would no longer need a human king full of frailty to lead them. As the psalmist concludes his prayer in the 9th verse, O save your people and bless your heritage, be their shepherd and carry them forever, we cannot miss the beautiful foreshadowing in these words. The story does not end here. Praise be to God. The psalmist is always looking ahead. He waits. Because who has said he will bring about his very promises? God has. He has covenanted with the people. He has drawn near to them. And he has promised a savior, a shepherd, one who will carry his people. He will bear us up forever. Brethren, indeed, God has fulfilled this prayer and revealed the shepherd, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who carries his people, the church, forever. What a mercy we have witnessed from God, that the gospel that we have heard and received brings us into a most treasured union with the Son. All the sorrow, the pain, trouble, calamity that will befall us in this life is nothing. It is nothing compared to the refuge we have in our Savior. Brothers and sisters, we take heart, for we will suffer. That is not a mystery, that is not a secret. We will suffer danger in this present age. And do not be surprised when you are afflicted, for your affliction is known by God. God is not blind to it. In fact, we affirm that all things are ordained by him. We will lose loved ones. We will suffer illnesses, and our bodies will fail us. We will suffer because of sin. We will lose our jobs and our possessions. We will be reviled by the world. Friends, as long as we walk in this life, the curse surrounds us. But we are never without hope or help. Our outlook is that of pilgrims. We are sojourners. We are reminded in the New Testament that we are not citizens of this world, but citizens of heaven. Christ himself says he has gone before to prepare a place for us. His children, his church. The point isn't to have an easy life, one without pain. Like I've said before, sin still remains and will suffer its effects. But I would ask us to consider a few words from the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 to 10. Let us turn there, please. (Clears throat) Beginning from verse 6, for God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. This was the demeanor of the apostles. They were called by God to be servants. This is true of every saint. We serve this God whom we love. We have believed his very gospel. That good news has been accomplished by Christ. And so then, while we are here now, going through this life, being tested and tried in every way, being sanctified and being changed and turned and renewed into the very image of Christ, though we suffer, we, like the apostles, do not despair. We will not perish. Praise be to God. Brethren, we have a great shepherd who knows our every affliction. He is the one who has overcome the world. And we are able to endure because of Christ. I said before, when your back is up against that wall and there is no seeming way out, O Christian, remember your Savior. Remember who has called you as his own. Hebrews chapter 12 records the following for us. Verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to ourselves. No, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you, Christian, may not grow weary or faint-hearted. The point is this: we will not always be strong. We will not always be able to make sense of the calamity that befalls us. Yet we must remember, we must recall the work of Christ. His work was such that you, O Christian, would not suffer despair. His work was so efficacious, so necessary, that the prayers of David, which he prayed, were answered by him. We can take Psalm 28 and pray that way, with the light of the gospel on us, and in us, and with us. Indeed, we remain because of that rock upon whom all our faith resides. Like David, we run to God, who is our only hope and rescue from our present trouble, and cry out as he does in the first verse, "To you, O Lord, I call, my rock, be not deaf to me. O Christ, hear me. For I am in anguish." Brothers and sisters, we have every means of grace availed to us through Christ, and we are never forsaken. Never. We have the Spirit of God with us. He dwells in you, Christian. He is sanctifying you and applying the Holy Scriptures to you. You are being renewed day by day. And sometimes that may not seem like much, but remember this, he is holding you throughout. If your gaze is firmly fixed upon the Lord, that narrow way, which is narrow, remember Christian on his way to the celestial city? Anytime he'd stray from the path, what would happen? Fall into despair. He would think he's crushed. Yet the reminder was always, look at that light. Don't lose sight of it. We have many helps, one of which is the very Spirit of God. We have prayer, the means by which we draw near to the throne of mercy and offer our supplications. We have the church, the body of Christ, which shares our burdens patiently as we pilgrim through this life. And so, for the Christian, it is impossible that you are left alone. You are never alone. Cling to the good gifts that God has given us through Christ, his Son. Christ has warned us these things. That though we suffer now, this suffering will come to an end. In the meantime, we carry on clinging to all these beautiful graces that he's given us. You have each other. One may suffer today. Another rejoices at the same time. Encourage one another. Pray for one another. Christ is bearing up his bride, and he will bring her home. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, do not lose heart, for this world is passing away, but Christ's church shall endure forever. The saints will remain. This world will pass away. I will end with the words of the Apostle Paul, again in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, I love that word, light, momentary affliction is what preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. We have not begun to even understand what Christ has prepared for us. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. They're vanishing. They're fading. Right? But the things that are unseen are eternal. All that Christ has given us, all that Christ has won for us, that shall not and never will perish. It will not be overcome. It is eternal. That is the Lord in whom we reside. It is the rock upon which we stand. We are not without hope or help. We agree with David. We have a shepherd. We have a shepherd. His name is Christ. And he is bearing us up even now. So take heart, Christian. Rest in the Lord. Rest in Christ. For there is peace in him, and comfort and care. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we are grateful to you that even through the Old Testament, we are reminded of the fact that you're the only one who is faithful, who remains steadfast, who is unchanging. And even as the saints in Israel looked ahead, waiting for the coming Messiah, we have heard his gospel, his good news, and we exult, for we have trusted in him. Such is the goodness to your church, O Lord, that even now, though there's darkness around us, we have the light which shines brighter than any darkness that would befall us. And so we ask and continue to ask for your help. Please build us up, O Lord. Edify our hearts. Enrich our faith. Prepare us, O Lord, for the glory that awaits us. Our treasure is with you. And you, O Heavenly Father, through Christ, have safeguarded our very lot. We trust you and we pray these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.